Right. Well, welcome to Oofa Ball Raw. Oofa Ball is here with Gary Otto, myself, and how's it going, my friend?
You're good. I mean, we had the Canadian kids here, Angelina and KJ, and they just went back. The spring break is over, so they went back to Vancouver today.
Okay.
And now we had to clean up a little.
You guys had fun?
And Walter, yeah, I think we had fun. We were in a water park and stuff like this. And but I mean, it's three different kids, right? Three different ages too. Yeah, now Walter's alone here. He loves his brother, but he comes back in 3 months, and so it is what it is. We have to live with it, let's say it this way, right? So living on two different continents, naja. But I mean, a lot of things happened on the planet, basically. Biden was in Poland. The first thing I think what was very interesting is that New York State attorney who quit his job wrote that Trump is totally guilty and needs to get indicted, but his boss preferred not to prosecute Trump further, and that was the reason that that prosecutor resigned. And he said all the evidence is on the table. But nobody is starting a trial. Nobody's starting a real trial against Donald Trump. And I think that shows really, like, if Trump would say the system is rigged, yeah, it's rigged in his favor. All his life, for like 50, 60 years, the whole system is rigged in his favor. Like the
Well, they
Atlantic.
protect their own. They're protecting their own. They're probably Republicans, and they know what would happen to their. It would make their party look really bad. They're so. That's Donald Trump's like succubusness. He knew what he was doing when he attached himself to the Republican Party, because now he can't go down, because if he goes down, they go down with him.
Yeah, and in a way, I mean, the thing to turn president was very clever because he was able then to avoid prosecution, to ever pay for his crimes in a way. Let's say he would stay just as a business person. I think, and he would never went into politics. I think at one point, he's favors were gone and they would prosecute him. The Trump University was a fraud, went bankrupt. The Trump casino in Atlantic City went bankrupt. Thousands of lawsuit with unpaid trade people with un or renters who didn't get what they were paying for. I mean, it's
And
unbelievable.
you saw that he filed a lawsuit like yesterday against Hillary Clinton, right? You didn't see this?
Unbelievable. Yeah,
Yeah,
that he
filed
cannot
a
even
lawsuit. What's that?
that he cannot get over Hillary Clinton.
I
He
know, right?
won against Hillary Clinton, and Hillary Clinton is gone out of the political power positions. So I don't know what his game plan is, by why he always flips out on Hillary Clinton.
Well, you know what it says? It says that during the 2016 presidential campaign, she lied to try and make it look like he was a Russian asset. And that's what he's suing for, is that his business and all of his shit, he's $24 million in debt because of everyone thinking that he's a Russian asset. So it's connected to the recent events. And I think it's a lot of debunked information, so it's not going to go anywhere. But he's like senile or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like a hamster running around. It's unbelievable. And I mean, yeah.
I think that they also said in the Ukraine, the 300 people were feared dead in Mariupol theater.
Yeah.
Yeah,
But you know what? The Ukraine thing. The New York Times this week wrote There were only 900 Ukrainians civilians killed so far, and 7,000 Russian soldiers. And that numbers are so different as the numbers reported the whole time. Reported was the Ukrainians said there are 30,000 Russian soldiers dead. And and the other sides or the press in Europe reported, as you said, like if you bomb that theater and there were 1,100 people in that theater and 300 people are dead, how can it be that in the whole war in 5 weeks only 900 people got killed? That's a totally absurd.
Hmm.
I mean, it seems to be wrong in general
on the Russian side especially, but if one side is wrong, the other one could possibly be wrong too.
I know, but if you go now on CNN or you go on New York Times, Washington Post, look at the photos in that one city alone, what the Russians bombed to shreds. Like there's one city in the south somewhere, whatever. That city is really Mariupol or whatever. That's where that theater was. So there are at least 100 buildings like destroyed in that one city. So
where did everybody go, you know?
That was what I mean. That's like then it's almost like a warfare. Like okay, in 2 hours we will shoot some bombs, please leave. And then they all leave and then destroy the buildings, because normally if you are in your building and there were houses of people living there, I mean, it cannot be that you have like after 5 weeks of real war, 900 dead people. I mean, that is, it doesn't make any sense. It should be thousands of dead.
Maybe they haven't checked the area.
Yeah, or maybe they don't really say the full truth here. I mean, it's you know, I'm a little like in between. You know, my good friend Ralf Seger, who's like saving, he was in the Foreign Legion and everything, but he's a big animal protector, and he went to Ukraine last week and drove 5 days with three other veterans, and they got 150 dogs rescued. But they went everywhere. They went to Kiev and they went really to the front. And he said there were a lot of Ukrainian total fascist soldiers, really like almost with the swastika on the uniform, like totally like right-wing Ukrainian soldiers, not the normal Ukrainian soldiers. They were very aggressive to him. And he said then he saw also Russian dead soldiers like laying around in the ditches.
Oh, and wow.
Yeah. And he didn't saw direct. He didn't have direct contact with the Russian forces. And I mean, he drove 5 days around in that country. And he said he didn't really had saw the Russian troops right in front of him. He knows they are there, of course, right? So, but still, when you get this kind of first experience like stories, it always is a little different as what it is in the media.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You know, it's like a friend of mine, he said a few weeks ago, he said, if you read the newspaper, you know what is written in the newspaper, but it's not necessarily what is actually happening. And I think, I mean, in Russia is only propaganda. There's like that nobody gets any information in the Russian media about how bad it is. But now it looks like a lot of Russian troops retreated back to Belarus. But they're actually out of the Ukraine. And people assume they're waiting for backup, they're waiting for food, they're waiting for fuel to go then back in the next wave. But that is just guessing. You know, okay. What is if they retreated because they're done on, and they think like, what the fuck? That's the thing. We're really totally in the dark. We're like every day there are like people, they do doomsday scenarios and say like the Third World War is coming. And every day you have people that say, Putin is totally going bankrupt and will get replaced. And then you have people, they say, no, no, Putin will continue and take the Ukraine. But then he will be maybe going to Poland and will attack Poland and is triggering the Third World War or whatever. It's like, but when I, as more you look or read, as less solid are all these theories. Like, we really have no clue.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have the energy. I mean, he still gets 500-600 million euro a day from the EU for the gas. So, and the German foreign minister Habeck from the Green Party, he said we have no chance to keep our industry up and our heating in Germany if we would shut down the Russian gas right now. He said Germany would fall apart. Like, you will have like 25 million people within 2 weeks that cannot go to work anymore because there's no energy, no gas. And yeah. And I mean that is very serious. And he said, like, no, whatever happened in the Ukraine is very bad, but we have to keep paying Russia. We need that gas at least for another 1.5-2 years. To decide to switch the gas off means like half of Europe will be totally fucked, economically fucked, and you have mass unemployed people very fast, and you have like even supermarkets have to shut down, stuff like this. So we were totally dependent on the Russian gas.
Yeah, and they have to find a different trade route if they want to go into that, and that takes time.
Yeah, exactly. That is what he said. He said you can get gas from the Middle East, you can get gas from the US, but not in that amount what the pipeline brings. You know, it's like there is a direct pipeline from Russia into Germany, like a huge pipeline, what pumps the gas 24/7 with mega like really power behind it. He said like you cannot have 50 ships full of gas arriving daily Germany from the US or from the Middle East. It doesn't work this way. Is it like that doesn't exist? It wouldn't exist. So they could basically cover, if they switch the Russian gas off, they can cover 20%, 25% on the short term from other sources, and 75% would be just like not existing anymore and everything would fall apart. So that are the hard facts, because Zelensky from the Ukraine, he's always like, you need to hit them harder. You need to, you need to switch the gas off and stop the payments from the EU to Russia, because that big payment finances the whole war for Putin. As long as he gets that payment, he can continue his war. But it's kind of like the total catch 22, right? Yeah. Because it's not like you cut the gas, Putin is bankrupt, next week Putin is not the president of Russia anymore, they throw him out and everything is happy, everybody's happy, it's peace, and then you put the pipeline back on. That will not happen. What will happen is you cut the pipeline off and then you have a total standstill and a total cold war for years.
And, you know, Putin is a pretty rich man. We don't even know how much money he has. It's all been hidden. And yeah. I bet you maybe he could even be the most the richest man in the world for all we know. He's probably got plenty of reserves.
Yes, and that is the thing, you know. And there are always countries willing to trade with him. It's not like Africa, Latin America, Asia, you know, Indonesia, Pakistan, India, Russia has also uranium, they have diamonds, they have all kinds of stuff, lithium, they have, it's the biggest mining country in the world, you know, and it's like, if we believe with the EU and North American sanctions that we cut out deal making and money transfers from all of this, like including China, other countries, I think then we're like naive. It's like,
yeah.
It's realistic that Putin has money coming in every day from all kinds of sources. Totally absurd is that the fuel price went up so much has nothing to do, like it shouldn't. That is that in US the fuel prices went up so much, or in Germany, is not because the actual cost of fuel went up. It's because all that countries, all that companies now, Exxon, Chevron, whatever, they make money now because they use that war to drive the prices up, even if their oil comes from Middle East where nothing changed. Like why the price is getting now racked up, so the inflation rate goes up, people have to pay so much money without any, let's say, real base for it. I mean, of course it makes sense that the price for Russian stuff would go up, or Ukrainian stuff, because right now they're in a war in Ukraine. It's very tough now to fulfill any obligations. That makes all sense. But that the Middle East is using it ice cold with all the oil companies together to rack the prices up and charge like an arm and a leg to everybody. They're making sensational record profits right now, all that oil companies, BP and so on. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
And it's funny because the gas got up to like 4.30 here, $4.30, and then it went down to $4.05, and everyone was like, "Ooh, it's coming down." But like that's all manufactured. Like they want to make it seem like it's coming down. It's gonna stop right there. It's not gonna come below $4, I bet you, because they still want to make that big money.
That is they're using that situation basically, and they're using it in their advantage. Have to go with it. Then on Elliot Ness, still didn't hear back from casting if they got a reader's report from William Morris or Jake Gyllenhaal. He's not right now out with that film Ambulance, that thriller. I think he robs a bank there or something. If he passes or if he's interested, so I hope I hear back fast. And otherwise, we have to go to the next actors. So, and I mean, it's also this kind of almost. With Hanau also only quick is I do it this way. If we don't get a US deal within the next 3 4 weeks, we will just put it up in US ourselves so that
Because
it's available.
people are going to start to bootleg it, and they're going to start to add the subtitles themselves if
Yeah,
they're
I
not.
know, but that is the thing. We will just release it. We can put it like Roche can put it tomorrow on Amazon everywhere, and just for streaming. And I asked the Munich company if they would do NTSC Blu-ray DVDs. They still didn't answer. So didn't answer. I will go after them, and we'll bring that also to a conclusion, right? Because then we know we have only streaming, or we can buy DVDs or Blu-rays. So it's a good reminder that we talk here right now, and I will email to Tiberius right after our podcast.
Because people really want to see it, and I think it's only a matter of time before it starts to get bootlegged.
And I mean that is the thing. It's like, but it's also like in a way there is so much an avalanche of product out there, what comes new and new and new. And if I make another film, it should be also something like interesting, special, commercial. I don't do political things like Hanau next, whatever. I want to do like more a real genre thing, what could sell, what could also attract a real actor or actors. And I think that is the way to go. And then having patience and being maybe something like Elliot Ness is very good. But as you see, it takes so long with it takes so long to get the cast. So it would be better we have three projects And the casting agency is trying to package three projects, and then one, hopefully somebody bites, and then you have something. You know,
I
it's
think
like.
you should think about the you should think about the California Fried Movie thing, because it first of all, you're good at comedy and you've only made like two comedies as far as I know.
Yeah.
And I think that you could pay get a bunch of cameos by famous actors like they did with the movie 45 or whatever, where they had Hugh Jackman in it for like 10 minutes. Like, and then you wouldn't have to pay them so much money because it would just be all these small little segments and scenes.
No, that is true. It could be a very clever production we would do in LA, because there you have the access to
Would
all
be
that
great.
actors, and you get like a lot of washed up actors too, but they're still known for little parts.
Actors, and then we could get, you know, we could try to maybe get like social media people like Logan Paul or something like that. You know what I mean?
But Logan Paul, I don't know if he's like if he didn't want would do it for free or something, but you get a
Can't
lot of
yeah.
You know, if you don't have this super hot actors, if you go more like for the old-fashioned guys, like whatever Rob Schneider, Michael Madsen, whatever, like people like this, I'm
Oh, that would be
sure
awesome.
if yeah, but I'm sure you get them for 3,000 to 4,000 bucks a day. If you make a like a, if you say, look, it's just 2 days for you, I give you 6,000 bucks, whatever. And I bet we will get 10, 20 B names. But if you have 20 B names, but if you have a film where basically every little vignette, every little funny scene is cast with somebody everybody knows at or
Well,
need. Whatever, like, you know, like going for TV names, going for feature names, but there are a lot of people that are like on the back burner and or they're sitting at home in Beverly Hills, have the old glory, but they don't have a real career right now, like a real, you know, like where they're like nonstop working. So to squeeze 2 days in or 3 days, especially if it's shot right there where you can pick them up with a car at the house. Bring them to the set, they shoot, and you drive them back. That is indeed a very good idea. And I think also a comedy is something we need right now. You know, I feel with the Ukrainian thing and after Corona, nobody needs another Rampage. You know, because we have that. I think people need something what is, of course, postal kind of humor, cynical but funny, but you know,
Here,
like it's
let me tell you an idea that I had for, because okay, think about this idea. I don't know if you would like this idea about the Weekend at Bernie's thing, but it would be the way that you would move the story forward between the different skits. Like,
yeah.
for example, like you want to frame the production assistant, so you invite them to your home, you get killed, and then the film investors come. They have to pretend that you're alive, and they pitch a bunch of movies, and each of the movies is a different segment, a different skit, while they're pretending that you're alive. And then it always comes back to that. But each segment and skit could be like a different thing, whatever you want to put in there. You know what I mean?
That is indeed not the bad idea. So that they start talking and then we reenact basically, we do a like, you know, like that it looks like we show part of the film they want to film. And, but of course, all in like funny, you know, because, yeah, so that it's all like basically, they have to be all like pitching comedies. And then what we see is not necessarily their idea, but it's how that idea would look like if they would actually film
Well,
it, you
yeah,
know.
the characters are like, we don't know anything about filmmaking like the or anything, and they're just taking your notes and they're trying to pitch them pretending that you're alive. Like it's like you on the couch in between two other guys, you know, propping you up. And then one of them, let's just say it's about a girl who, I don't know, whatever, and then it ends up being one of the ideas that you have for Postal. You know what I mean? And then it
Yeah.
comes back and they're like, what else you got? And then they go, "What about this one?" And then they're like, and they show, and then it's another skit. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the president of the United States, blah blah blah. We could figure out ways that each little skit is a pitch that they're giving. You know?
Yeah, but then it still has to be also they want to get rid of my body or whatever. Like it has to be a story.
Yeah.
The you know the envelope story has to get told too.
Yeah,
In
no, I don't know where it would go. All I have is that, but we could make it work if we developed it a little more.
yeah. But yeah, and then for me, I want to have, but for example, also they could put the TV on and then we see in TV something like, because I like also this kind of what I did in German Fright Movie. We made a mix, you know, like a TV program mix from somebody who's zapping through the channels. And then you have this kind of total idiotic TV advertising clips. Where we make fun out of the actual advertising clips because they are idiotic. And then you have like you change the program and you have news, you know, and then you have a news anchor totally like losing his shit and all the news are then in this section you can put in the Trump, the Clinton, the QAnon, you know, all that stuff you can pack into the film in a
Yeah.
total third way, you know, like
Yeah, there
you
could be three
X
different, there
our
could be.
anti-masker is whatever climbing up the Empire State, whatever, like King Kong. No, you know, like you use everything what happened in the last few years and you make fun out of it. Like
Okay.
that,
Yeah.
you
Yeah.
know.
Could be three different. It'll be like there's the story that's in the real world, there's the stories on the television. And then there's the stories of the movies they're trying to pitch. And those are three different ways we could do three different types of skits.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. I mean, I have to think about it, and I've wrote down a lot of individual ideas, and maybe they can get all into this, what would be
Yeah.
good, you
Yeah,
know?
it's an idea to the next. Without having to worry about how do we segue from one idea into the other, we can just do it this way. It sounds like a good idea. I would think about it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that about this, and then I don't know what else. I mean, in Germany, everybody I know gets Omicron right now. You have that.
I've never had it. Can you believe that? I've been so careful that I've never even gotten COVID. I'm lucky.
Yeah, I never had COVID. I don't know if I had it and I had no symptoms or whatever, but officially. I never had it. So, and I don't know what is real and what is not real with it, but I know my son had it, my wife had it, so a lot of things, a lot of
Wow.
people
There's a
know.
chance that you could have had it because they're pretty close to you.
Yeah, no, totally. But it was also then sometimes you know, sometimes it's just like I had so many flus and infections and everything in the last 3 months that maybe I was exactly in that immune hole that I just couldn't get it the moment they got it, that they 100% infected me, but then they didn't. I mean, KJ, yesterday he needed here a test to get in the airplane today, and he had a total cold yesterday. And I thought already, oh God, when we go to the testing, not that it's positive, but it was negative. So he just had a normal cold. And you know, also a lot of tests don't really detect that anymore. Like they just don't detect on Omicron properly. And so even if you think, oh, I'm negative, I have only a cold, maybe you had it then already.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
that we really don't know. Yeah, and yeah, and then I'm still working on my Banditos documentary, where
Have you filmed it and are you editing it now or are you still?
no, I'm not done filming, and the next dates to film is April 12th and 13th, because then 140 days trial, like 140 days trial days goes to an end with the judgment. And then on that day, I will see if my main actor's basically going to jail or not.
Oh,
And
gosh.
the main boss, he thinks it will not happen. He thinks the state attorney will not even ask for jail time because they couldn't prove the case at all. But we all know since Trump, everything can happen in court, and the courts in Germany are not, let's say, in favor of this kind of motorcycle clubs.
Yeah.
You know, if you're Hell's Angels, if you're Banditos, you per se hated by the audience, the judge, the state attorney. They all hate you. They all want to put you in jail. You
Yeah.
know, and that is the that I mean, I think that is the disadvantage, and that is the reason why this lawsuit also never stopped. I mean, why it's so long and so many witnesses and witnesses again, and then because of Corona, they had to it was 18 months stretched out with mostly one or 2 days in court per week. And the co-chef of the Bandidos is in jail since the beginning. So he's 28 months already in jail. During the whole trial, he was in jail. And the boss, not. He's out. So, and yeah, I mean, ridiculous. Because when you really see what the case was. So there was a Hell's Angels bar in Cologne, and somebody shot two bullets into that bar through the window. But
Oh, God. Okay.
the bullets didn't hurt anybody. They were not like there was no dead, no injured. So there was just two bullets. And then they arrested seven bandidos and accused them of not only shooting through the window, but also like illegal weapons, illegal weapon dealing, illegal building of a criminal empire. Like,
Oh,
so
God.
the accusations had nothing to do with the actual reason why somebody started investigating you. And then so it got the case got bigger and bigger and bigger, but based on a big illusion, you know. And then they took over 240 Harley Davidsons away in house searches during
Oh
the trial.
man,
They went with SWAT in 240 different houses and like bombed the door away. The whole like people are like families, kids, whatever, got like from SWAT teams overrun, and 240 objects got searched, and they mostly couldn't find anything. I think in 240 houses, they found in 10 weapons. In 230 nothing, but they took all the Harley Davidsons away from them, and then they went to the clubhouses and closed all the clubhouses and enacted them for the state. They basically said, "We disown your property. Like it doesn't you own you doesn't own it you don't own it anymore. It's now owned by Federal Republic of Germany without a judgment."
Oh my God, that's horrible.
I know it's all horrible. It's like unbelievable. I think it's total injustice because, so let's say now on April 13, the end result is okay, 5 months probation. I mean, okay, who reinstalls then all the other shit? I mean, what's if they don't found guilty of the real, let's say, building of a criminal empire, or like this hardcore accusations. If they don't found guilty of this, they basically the state owes them a lot of money,
Yeah.
and back real estate, back jobs, back whatever, their repairs of their houses back after the SWAT team like crashed the windows, you know, like stuff like
Like
this.
new.
We pay.
Damn.
Lord Neville, the Harley Davidsons, I can pick up, right? They're standing in the lockup. But I think what will happen then is that the attorneys from the Banditos will countersue.
Yeah.
You know, they're only waiting, and if that judgment comes, then immediately they will sue for millions in that they also, like, think about it. There were 6 or 7 Banditos, each have 2 attorneys on 150 whatever trial dates that are millions in legal fees.
Yeah.
Like millions, you know, who pays this? So
it's a very interesting case you've got here. Very interesting movie, it sounds like.
Yes, I think it has a lot of drama to it, and you know, and but the price I pay. That's the reason I had a Netflix call last week, and they were interested again in the subject matter, and but I cannot deliver what the TV channel wants. You know, that is the thing. It's a documentary. They want that to basically present them a script that I tell them how everything ends. But I said, that's the whole point of a documentary. We don't know how everything ends. Of course, there are documentaries that are done after the fact, when everything is done, right?
Yeah.
But there are also documentaries. Look at the Edward Snowden documentary or whatever, where nobody knows how that docu ends when they started filming it. And that is similar to my docu, right? So you don't know how my doku will end, and I cannot just write a script. I mean, it's completely absurd, you know, like a Netflix, Amazon, they want like basically a full written script for a documentary. And I said, who knows what they say in an interview. I said, these are people, they don't listen to what you want.
Well, maybe just tell them the background of who you're talking about so they know who the Banditos are.
Yeah, the Banditos are Wisdom Hells Angels, the biggest motorcycle club in the world. They're like in 120 countries, and they have like 20 or 30,000 members worldwide.
Yeah, and maybe just run down that and run down what the case is, and that, you know, the case hasn't ended and we're still filming. And maybe that would be a good way to present
it. Yeah, but no, but that is what I said, right? And then they asked, like, in every episode, how I get a cliffhanger. And I said, in the end, right? So to end with a cliffhanger so that they all binge watch it. And I said, yeah, that is, the cliffhangers are no problem, because if we cut it right, we don't know if everybody goes to jail or not. We don't know if the Banditos still exist after April.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, that is the thing. That is, of course, not the only thing. I said, all the docus about when you Google or you go on YouTube, Hells Angels, Banditos, whatever, most of the documentaries of this big clubs are done without the club. They are done without that they actually sit down and give interviews, right? So they are done, they're interviewing law enforcement, they're interviewing state attorneys, they're interviewing people, victims, whatever. But I have the source. Like, I talk to the boss. Like, you know, I can sit there and interview him for hours. He's doing it. So who else had that access so far? So and that is the thing, you know, that is what I don't get, is that why these channels or whatever streamers don't get it, that is gold what I have here. That is like, it's the first time that you get the point of view of the Banditos and not a docu about the Banditos, you know, where the Banditos then only talk to you and tell you like, fuck off, or we throw you in the river. So, you know, so, and that is the, I think that is the biggest difference here. And I think it's very important
you're giving the perspective of the Banditos as from their perspective after they've been under siege. And I think that's really interesting.
Yes, and I think also, of course, we interview also law enforcement and stuff like this. I was at the German FBI and interviewed the main guy from the FBI that is already shot. I shot that already. Of course, we show crimes. Of course, we use also stock footage, right? But what I cannot control is, of course, the overall narrative, how it all ends before it's ended. And I cannot tell them what to say or what to, you know, like they are who they are. And I think the asset is to let them tell their story. That is the asset, to let's listen to what they have to say about the last 30, 40 years since they opened since they started it, you know? So, and I think that is, it's extremely important. And that's the reason that doku, I will finish it even if nobody finances it. I just will finish the doku because I know that is something what people will appreciate when it's finally done. It's maybe then financially again not a success, but I think that is worldwide very much from interest. Like people also in US would definitely want to watch that documentary.
Well, I think this is definitely the type of film that you could possibly try and do Sundance, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, all kinds of festivals, maybe, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, if it's a strong film, you've got a good chance, because it sounds like a really riveting drama. It's a real life riveting drama.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Naja. Okay, then I have to kick Walter's ass to make his homework. And
Well,
for today, our podcast is done.
bother any of you? The party's completely deserted.
Well, they did not go to 7-Eleven to get more booze.
Can't hear anything.
Neither do I.
Let's kick some.
I've been waiting for you.
Rated R starts October 10th.